you in the 06010. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Monday, October 2nd. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by my best friends, Field Yates and Mike Clay. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Guys, we are through most of week four. Congratulations. How'd you guys feel about what you saw on Sunday?
I feel great.
That's weird, Mike. I don't know what you're referring to, but Daniel, thank you first of all for clearing up the pothole on the way to work for me. That vest you're wearing right now, that must be the reason why you're wearing a neon vest. I don't know what Mike is referring to, so I think we probably would be wise. You know, people aren't concerned about what took place in the past. Who wants to live life looking through the rearview mirror? Look through the windshield. Look ahead. So it would be smart for us to begin our week five preview. And with that, let's get started, shall we? Bears Commanders Thursday night. Can't wait.
The Bears. Who's their quarterback?
Might be Tyson Bagent on Thursday night. Unclear.
Yeah, unknown after Fields. So you were right then. I missed the games. Did Fields bust and like you thought he would?
Mike, honestly, this has to be one of the most legendary board bet wins of all time.
For real.
Like this, what a call by you, Mike Clay. You are an absolute ledge. For those that somehow didn't see it last week, we had a board bet that we discussed like every day after we made it, which was Justin Fields finishing as a top 11 quarterback in week four. What did he do? He had the day of his life, literally the day of Justin Fields' NFL career. He had never thrown for 300 yards in a game. He did that on Sunday. He had never thrown for four touchdowns in a game. He did that on Sunday as well. How do you feel? Did you sleep like a baby last night?
I did. It felt good. What was really nice about this is it wasn't close. It was like right out of the gate. After the first quarter, you already know, maybe the first drive, you already knew this is going to be a big game for him. Ended up, as you said, with four touchdowns. And didn't do like anything with his legs either.
Nothing. So, didn't need to.
The story here really is the Denver defense. Honestly, I feel great about it. It was a good call. I'm glad we started him. People are happy. That's great news. But I don't know what it means going forward for Justin Fields either.
Well, that's the question. Right? That's the question then, right, Daniel?
It was a Denver defense thing, not really a Justin Fields thing.
So this is that question. I came in and I said this to Field before the show. Is this a spot where coming out of this Denver Broncos defense, making Justin Fields and DJ Moore look otherworldly here, is this that moment where you're like, if I get a chance, I'm going to at least put him out there on the trade block, see what kind of offers I can get, and this is my opportunity to move on from this depleted Bears offense?
I think it depends on the kind of league that you play in, right? Because I feel like most of the people that listen to this show are savvy enough to know that, like, I'm not going to take the cheese after one good Justin Fields game.
Yeah, it's the friends in your league that don't listen to the show that you then take their cheese.
Are there people that play fantasy football that don't listen to this show? I'm not aware. I know that we have 11 plus million users on ESPN's app for the fantasy platform specifically. I got to figure that our numbers are give or take, there, like 11, 12 million per episode.
Well, we have at least, I would say, like 50 to 100 listeners because they were all on your mentions yesterday.
Yes, they were. I'm glad you're getting your jokes off now, Mike.
We had the Aaron Jones the other day. Now Justin Fields. I mean,
My God.
Like three strikes, man. Yeah. One more. Like,
are you trying to unemploy me right now?
Seriously. I thought I was clear about that.
Well, okay. Real question, real talk.
I would try, Ding. I really would.
I would move. If I can move on from DJ Moore specifically, that's a player that it's like, I'm going to put out offers. You don't want to just take whatever just to trade a guy, but I want to see what could I potentially get after that big game.
If it had been Justin Fields rushing for like 160 yards and a touchdown, correct, I would have been cool with being like, all right, this might be the start of the 2022 remix, but because he threw for 335 yards and four passing touchdowns, which feels extremely unlikely for me to keep happening over and over and over again, if I could parlay Justin Fields into something, I certainly would. DJ Moore as well, because I just don't, like, as Justin Fields goes as a thrower, DJ Moore will also go as a thrower in Chicago.
Yeah, and this is the funny thing about fantasy is it's matchup based. So I had Fields, QB6 this week. He had a huge game. I'm going to rank him lower. You know what I mean?
I just was generous. That's why I moved him down. My initial rankings,
Point being, I'm going to rank him lower this week than I did last week after a huge game because he's playing Washington on Thursday. So I'm very curious to see if we can keep this going. But I think this is just to say that matchups do matter, and the Broncos are atrocious right now on defense.
I think we have found that defense in 2023 that we say start everybody that plays against this defense, and that's the Denver Broncos.
Go ahead. The Broncos defense for fantasy was good yesterday. They got 14 points.
Yeah, that's true. But there is this trajectory in the league where Denver's going to make some adjustments and figure some things out. They might be poor all season long. They're not going to be this bad. They are actually on a historically poor pace right now. As worst defenses ever through four games. So
if you could take their defense last year and their offense this year, they'd be a pretty decent team.
Yeah,
that's a good.
Let's talk about the Broncos offense, right?
That is a part of the conversation. Right now, Russell Wilson is quarterback 8 on the season.
He's good.
How much of that is because this is an awful Broncos defense and he's having to play catch up the entire game?
A little bit. I also think he's been sharp though. In the games that have been a little bit more competitive, he's been good. Like Russell Wilson looks much closer to 2021 Russell Wilson than he does the 2022 version. Like I think that last year was much more the outlier than anything else. So I've actually been enthused by Russell Wilson, and the pass catchers are good. As we know, they are throwing it a lot because they can't seem to run the football that effectively this season. And Javonte Williams got banged up yesterday. So a very, I would say, up and down running game is already that much more compromised.
The former Broncos don't seem to agree with you about the receivers though.
Do you think they're going to call Philip Lindsay in? Like maybe,
Rod Smith, I think, was the other one, too. Jerry Jeudy was responding to former Broncos who were complaining about
that. Jerry Jeudy laid waste to Philip Lindsay on Twitter. If you haven't seen that one yet, go check it out.
Thanks. He sure did. One more thing, though, about Wilson. If you look at where his opponents so far, the four teams Denver has faced, rank in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, second, third, ninth, and 11th.
Yeah.
Remaining schedule, 30th.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 30th. The dip could be coming. So maybe this is the time that because there, I do know, I mean, I have him in a league, our Gasco league, Dan and I playing together. And like this may be the time to potentially try to maneuver off of Russell Wilson. If you have, if you have ridden or rode, if you have been the hot hand of Russell Wilson for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's early, 4-game sample size. Not even, we're not even done 4 full weeks, but yeah, it looks like the schedule's going to be much tougher and has been light so far for Russ. So that could be some of the formula here.
There are a few players that I would consider just total, doesn't make a difference what you offer me. I'm just not going to trade that player.
Okay.
Right now, through 4 weeks of the season, Christian McCaffrey doesn't make a difference what you offer me. He's not leaving my roster. One of the only guys that feels like at the running back position, week in and week out, continues to deliver. And it wasn't just delivering this week, Field. He freaking crushed it. Over 40 fantasy points.
Yeah, he went almost full Devon Achan yesterday. I mean, 48.7 fantasy points.
So close.
He had 4 touchdowns total. He had 7 catches for 71 yards. He has 18 touchdowns and 18 games played with the 49ers. He's ridiculous.
That's incredible.
I mean, and the big, so we've talked about Christian McCaffrey 6,000 times in this podcast, and deservedly so. There was simply one question mark that surrounded Christian McCaffrey coming into this season. Last year, once Elijah Mitchell got healthy, the 49ers leaned on him enough that if you were picking nits, which is one of my favorite weird old person phrases, at the top of the board, and you wanted to make the case for Austin Eckler over Christian McCaffrey, it would be because Elijah Mitchell might play just enough to break that tie. They were unbelievable. They were running back 2 and running back 3 in week 1. Obviously, Eckler has been hurt, so we haven't been able to measure his success since. But McCaffrey is unbelievable. I think one day this week, probably Wednesday, maybe Thursday, we're going to do a redraft. Rest of season, top 10. I can't imagine Christian McCaffrey is not squarely in the mix for number 1 overall.
Number one, and the number 1 scoring running back now by 30 points, and it's going to be interesting. Week 5, they play Dallas. Fewest fantasy points out of running back so far. It's going to be a fun matchup.
Yeah, Dallas has looked fantastic on defense every single week, it feels.
3 out of 4 games.
3 out of 4 games.
Yeah, for week 3, probably.
was that a trap game that they just...
I mean, I guess Arizona, it totally was.
I mean, Arizona is definitely overachieving. They're like above average in offensive EPA. We're going to get to Josh
Hobbs at
some point, but that was a shocker.
All right, let's talk about this Rams game, too, because Matthew Stafford got banged up. You saw him ailing in the second half of that game. But Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams, two guys that have just come out of nowhere, you've grabbed them off of waivers. If you're starting either of these guys, it's because you grabbed them off of waivers, and congratulations.
Baby.
Now the question for me is, they've been fantastic through the first 4 weeks of the season. We potentially get Cooper Kupp back. What's that going to mean moving forward?
You know what? So I think we should answer that. I also want to take a moment to just celebrate it, because it's like Puka's been otherworldly good.
What a find.
Every Sunday night, we're getting, you know, the NFL delivers this notes package. They call it the 7 from Sunday. And they dig up all like notable facts from the day. And I swear 40% of the notes to the first 4 weeks have been on just how ridiculous Puka Nacua is. Like, most catches by a player through his first 4 games ever. Most receiving yards by a player through his first 4 games ever. Found the end zone in overtime to walk off the win yesterday. Brilliant player. I don't care if his production falls off a cliff for the rest of the year. Shout out to Puka Nacua. But I think the production's going to stay steady. We've talked about sort of the Cooper Kupp slash Robert Woods model that works for the Rams in prior years. I don't know that Cooper Kupp, I'm sorry, I don't know that Robert Woods and Puka Nacua are the same player by any stretch, but I do think there is a chance that this Rams offense can support two top 20 wide receivers for the rest of the season, assuming Cooper Kupp is back to full strength sooner than later.
Yeah, so I projected it out for this week with Cooper Kupp playing. I have him ranked as kind of a mid to back end wide receiver one, assuming he doesn't just get thrown into the fire for 15 targets, which maybe does happen, but
which would be hilarious.
Unlikely. Yeah. So still ranking Kupp as basically top 10, top 12. Nacua came in with a respectable target share, but way down from where he is now, closer to like 23% instead of 33%. He's 15th.
Yeah.
So there's still, now that has Tutu Atwell taking a hit down to like inside the top 50.
That's where I feel like
Van Jefferson phased out. They could rotate all four guys and this could be problematic. It might not work out that way, but I think it's kind of like that thing where, like, the cat's out of the bag on Nacua, right? This is four games. A guy looks legit.
Yep.
I can't imagine they put him back in the bottle, essentially. I think he's going to be out there and see seven to nine targets.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you look at the Colts here, Anthony Richardson looked fantastic
in the second
half.
Doesn't matter how it looks.
First half was tough if you watched it, but once you got there, the kid is still so good with his legs, and he's throwing the ball enough to be able to make up some of that volume.
I mean, he had 11 completions yesterday, though. Like, you don't have to watch and appreciate the passing to appreciate the fantasy points, right? He's just so darn good as a runner. Again, over 50 rushing yards. Another rushing touchdown. The same play he has scored on in, I think, three of his four rushing touchdowns. Quarterback draw from like the 3-yard line. And they're going to keep running that because defenses have no answer for it. He is a lock it in top 10 quarterback every single week, assuming he's healthy.
Totally agree. He is. Maybe even higher than that because
that's conservative.
Yeah, he's second in points per game this season and he missed a huge chunk of playing time. Yeah. I mean, think about how good CJ Stroud has been setting records or, you know, historical paces. Richardson has seven fewer fantasy points this season.
And basically seven fewer quarters.
Exactly.
Hey,
unbelievable.
Michael Pittman had a tough one this week. Michael Pittman had seen 11 or more targets in each of the previous three games. Yeah. This is just a tough one.
Not worried about Michael Pittman. Every dog has its day. Every day has its way. Michael Pittman will be back next week or sooner or later.
With you on that one.
Next week? Yeah, that works.
All right, Field, help us pay some bills here.
Why don't I start? I say you should start.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
Geico asked, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Would love it.
Of course you would. When it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Level up your game day like Taylor Swift with Vivid Seats and get great tickets to the biggest games of the year. You know she's using Vivid Seats to get in these boxes, right, guys? Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can score free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, an annual birthday discount, and more. They're the only ticket company in the game that rewards fans for every purchase. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with the code FFF. That's code FFF. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus. My name is Daniel Dopp with Mike Clay and Field Yates. And guys, we're going to... Sorry about that, Mike. I hit your microphone.
Wow, watch it, man.
It's the second time.
Watch Mike's mic.
Hey!
I know you're upset about the...
I'm not upset about the
Justin Fields thing.
That's not what it is.
Take it down a notch.
I'll tell you what. I want to look at this Dolphins-Bills game. Because we watched the Dolphins be unbelievable last week against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Coming into Buffalo, it was a little bit of a different experience here. Let's start with Buffalo because Josh Allen just looked fantastic against this Dolphins defense.
Yeah, again, we'll just gloat for a second about how good Josh Allen is. He is now, I believe, quarterback three on the season in terms of total... No, quarterback two, excuse me. Justin Herbert is quarterback number one. He's the only quarterback with over 20 fantasy points in every game. But just a reminder in the preseason discourse and narratives why people were stunned that someone could possibly have Josh Allen as quarterback one. He has as much weekly upside as any quarterback in the entire NFL. And he flexed it yesterday.
So you had Josh Allen quarterback number one is what you're saying.
Yeah, but and it was funny because you don't have But we talked about this, right?
Like humble way.
Oh, no. But we talked about this is the only one we talked about specifically on social media because it was like people, the way that it was framed apparently wasn't clear enough to people that I was referring to fantasy value.
Sure. So
there were, I continue 2 months later on this post, get comments like, you actually have Josh Allen ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes? Not in real life. No, I don't. Patrick Mahomes is the king of the NFL, but Josh Allen's upside is just so freaking ridiculously high. He flexed it yesterday. Stephon Diggs was wonderful as well.
Oh man.
Gabe Davis has been hot over the past few games. That one kind of feels like a bit of a trap though, right? Catching touchdowns without catching many passes that aren't touchdowns.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, his target share is very low, but they've also been blowing teams out, so they're not playing the full games right now, which is interesting. Same kind of issue with Dallas right now. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say about Allen, it's really incredible what he's doing because his rushing
has
plummeted from last year. 7.8 carries and 48 yards per game to 4.0 and 27 yards per game. That's a lot of fantasy production that he's losing, but he's making up for it through the air so far.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And for the Dolphins, I want to give Mike a hat tip here because this is the second time in 3 weeks that Mike has sort of cautioned, like, I know Tua's really hard to bench because he's coming off of these just ridiculous games in week one and then again in week three, obviously, against two bad defenses, the Chargers and the Broncos.
Yeah.
He's faced two respectable defenses and had two very not respectable fantasy performances, Mike.
Yeah, and the problem there is he is basically a zero runner.
Yeah,
yeah, that's he has 15 rushing yards and 11 carries this season. It was the same kind of thing last year, and this is what we had pause on him coming into the season because of that. That's why he was a fringe QB1, not like a mid-range or a potential elite fantasy quarterback, because he just does not add anything with his legs. And that was kind of my justification on Fields to an extent last week, was even if he doesn't light it up through the air, he's probably going to run enough against Denver just to give you a decent floor. I know that hasn't been the case prior to that, but with Tua, you don't have that. You don't have that safety net if he has a tough matchup. So it's just something all season long we're going to play the matchups with Tua.
Do you want to know the bigger problem with the assessment on Tua going into last week, Mike? I think he is the player more than anybody else. I think Dak is in this conversation, though, that apparently for one reason or another, you have to think that Tua is either left-handed Joe Montana or he's terrible and simply a byproduct of playing with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and that great Dolphins offense, when like oftentimes the truth rests somewhere in between, right? So in given weeks, Tua can throw for 350 yards and four touchdown passes and be a quarterback one. He also has weeks where he is more prone than, say, a Josh Allen or maybe a Patrick Mahomes or a Jalen Hurts to have 12.5 fantasy points because he gives you a zero with his legs and only throws for 220 some yards and a touchdown. Like,
yeah, and
I don't know why it has to be one side or the other. There is a little bit of nuance allowed, and you delivered that nuance in 2 out of 3 weeks, and you excellently predicted a modest fantasy performance.
Well, first of all, thank you. So kind.
Appreciate
You're
that.
Being, of course. He doesn't want me to grill him for
That's
Jones
exactly what it
anymore.
Is. Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
No, it's okay.
I'm with you, and you know, I think that nuance is necessary like across the league, especially more now than ever. As you were talking, I was thinking about Jared Goff, like his home road splits last season were unbelievable. He was terrific in fantasy at home. You know, like his touchdown interception ratio was ridiculous. On the road, it was
terrible.
What's
he done on the road here this week or this year?
I don't know.
One.
So he went into Arrowhead and won, and then I think he went into Lambeau Field.
Sure
and
did.
Yeah, I guess two primetime games on the road.
But good in fantasy in either of those?
Oh.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
That's a no. No.
Can we have like, I want everybody who's out there. Let me just quickly close the circle here on this Dolphins game. Devon Achane, again, baby. We saw the role increase. Sheffy said that would happen on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And what
sure
did he do? 27 plus fantasy points for Devon Achane. So crazy. RB5 on the week. He's now like, what, the third highest scoring running back for the full season? Something ridiculous.
He's up there and played 66% of the snaps. That's a big number. Jeff Wilson Jr. could be back this week. We'll keep an eye on how they distribute touches. He only had 8 carries and 3 catches in this game. So that volume scares me going forward. He was very effective, though. Good target shares the last 2 weeks. Look, as long as he handles half the carries and sees a target share in that range, around 14-15%, he's going to be a must-start in fantasy for sure. Good matchup this week against the Giants.
I've been nervous about Jalen Waddle. We should talk about him a little later this week because he has not been the wide receiver that you drafted him to be.
Yeah, it just feels... Well, a couple things here is that one of the discourses surrounding Jalen Waddle is, are you going to be buying at what you think was peak value last season, right? Because... not that he can't have a monster year again, but like for him to have the season he did in the same year that Tyreek Hill pushed for at one point the receiving yardage record in a single season, like that's just hard for two players to both replicate that success. Waddle's awesome. Tyreek Hill is the superior player. So Waddle's kind of been the odd man out in this offense so far. good thought to talk about him a bit more because I don't think the talent's changed. I just think that at some point we're having the San Francisco effect, right? Yep. Can everybody feast consistently?
Yeah. Just so much damage done on the ground with the running back so far. Yeah. I think Waddle will bounce back. I mean, we can get into that another time more in depth, but I would buy on
it. We need to have some therapy right now. That's what we need to do. We need to talk about the Bengals.
Yeah, Mike, obviously, what do you do here? This is one of the things. So this was supposed to be the fix me game for Joe Burrow. We talked about this for the Tennessee Titans. They can be beat through the air. And instead, we saw basically the same thing that we've seen from Joe Burrow the other three games this year.
Yeah, he has 31 fantasy points this season. Josh Allen had 34 yesterday by himself. 31.
I believe points. That's the fewest of any quarterback that started all four games by the way.
It absolutely is. And 20th is his best weekly finish. Yards per attempt is below 5, which is unbelievable. He had 4.7 fantasy points yesterday.
Brutal.
That's almost his YPA for the
season.
58% completion rate. He has 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 3 rushing yards, which is an area he was very good last season. I'm still scratching my head on this one. Sometimes it's easy to figure out what's going on. I know he's got to be the calf. Yeah, it was. I know.
Like, this is not a situation where a player like ascends during 1 year and then he comes back down. Maybe that's what I think there are some people that are weary that maybe Daniel Jones is that the one great year is more the mirage than the reality. Right. I'm still not at that point yet. But with Joe Burrow, like the first three seasons were freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. He nearly won the Super Bowl. This is not some guy who is like a figment of our imagination. I think it's got to be the calf. And I think the calf is totally limiting his ability to drive the football down the field. I think they're calling plays differently as a result of that. And obviously there is no, and it's not just rushing yards. It's second reaction throws for Joe Burrow. It's like break the pocket, buy a little bit more time, chuck it to Ja'Marr Chase down the field, short yardage, but either way, let him do the damage. It's just not there. And if he can't get it done against Tennessee, I don't know how you could possibly justify starting Joe Burrow this upcoming week. How about this? They have 3 offensive touchdowns this season. Mm-hmm. An offense with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins until yesterday, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, a very heavily invested offensive line has 3 touchdowns in 4 games. 3 offensive touchdowns. T. Higgins is hurt, by the way, now.
You're right. And I mean, to put up 3 points against Tennessee, that's unacceptable. And now they play Arizona, and theoretically, it's a great matchup.
Should be another good matchup.
But what do you do here? Right. And again, T. Higgins, very unlikely to play, I would imagine, this week.
He's got a ribs issue.
Rib fracture is what I had heard. And so, this
sounds like that's the case. And on the one hand, you're saying to yourself, oh, great. You can just go grab Tyler Boyd. And this offense is the second wide receiver, the number one wide receiver in this offense has had 1 good game. So how can you feel good about the second wide receiver in this offense? Yep. It's a mess right now. You're right. It's a good matchup on paper this upcoming week. But if you fell down that trap, I think there's a very real chance if you have Joe Burrow and you've started them each of the first 4 weeks, you are at best 2-2 and you might well be 1-3 or 0-4. Quarterbacks can drive your team so much in fantasy football. And if you are at risk of going 1-4, 0-5, how can you possibly trot out Joe Burrow this week? How?
Let me ask you this then with that, and we can talk about it more again later this week when we talk about waiver wire, but is he a guy that you would drop for somebody, or is Burrow just, he's still so talented that if he ever fixes it, he still needs to be on the end of your bench and you grab a streamer until you start feeling comfortable? I mean, because that's kind of the question.
Do you I only have him in 1 league this year. I guarantee you that if I drop him, he will become the NFL's MVP. If you want to attempt that, I will consider it for the greater good of the masses. In that league, I am doing my best to try to find a trade for somebody else this week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't drop him yet. Yeah. He feels inevitable, right? He's just too good, to your point. I still believe he will. There's some players where it's okay to move on. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to happen. But Joe Burrow, I think
good example
happen,
of a guy that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. What about Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry finally, I don't want to say finally, got back on track.
That was the fix me game that we were ignoring. It was great to see the king look like the king. And here's the good news for Derrick Henry. As bad as it's been in 2 out of 4 games, it's been really good in the other 2 games. So just a good subtle reminder here from Derrick Henry that when they play their game, which is dominating at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, then Henry can still carry the ball 20 plus times, rush for 100 yards. That touchdown run yesterday was pretty nifty, by the way, as well. Assuaged some of the concerns that the athleticism was declining.
Yeah, disappointing that the targets have gone down from last year. That really propelled him up into the elite running. I mean, he's been in the elite running backs, but it got him to kind of another level. But he's still 2nd in carries in running back, and he's 5th in touches and 11th in fantasy points. So maybe not the ceiling he had last year, but still enough to be in that RB1 conversation.
Really quick on the Texans here. Yeah. I thought CJ Stroud looked good. We've already talked about this kid and how nice he has looked. The question here for me is, are we in the same kind of boat that we are with the 49ers, where we're going to have these wide receivers that are getting good volume, but you're not always going to know which week it's going to be? We've seen some Tank Dell and he's looked good. We've seen some Nico Collins this week specifically. If you called him like as your start of the week, maybe on Friday, that would have been a good decision.
Did you?
Oh, I did do that. Yeah, I did.
Nice.
I said Nico Collins was start of the week.
Do you want the chain?
This is, say that again? No, I don't need the chain. That's
you wear that thing. That was a good call.
But this is one of those things. Like, I feel like they're going to rotate through because CJ Stroud is sort of passing it to everybody. All three of these wide receivers are getting volume, including tight end Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. No, it was great to see. Yeah.
I'm projecting them pretty much all across the board, right around a 20% target share, with Collins getting an edge because he's been the best there so far. Really
stuck
quick,
up for the Texans.
Really quick, yes. CJ Stroud, 8.0 yards per attempt. Only two quarterbacks ahead of him this year, Tua and Brock Purdy. He's been terrific.
20-plus points in each of his past three games.
Dude is so good.
Crushing it.
Love seeing it. All right, Daniel Dott, Mike Clay, and Field Yates here on Fantasy Focus.
And yeah.
We are talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Guys, we finally did it. Wait. Arthur Smith.
We are doing it because we have
we
to.
We had a
not
tight end
go
for 95
six
yards.
Six receptions and 95 yards.
We did it. Good job. Wait a minute.
Congratulations, Mecole Pruitt.
Oh, shoot.
No,
wait a minute.
That was Jonnu Smith.
Oh, it was Jonnu Smith. Wasn't even Pruitt. Is he on the roster still?
I don't think so. Right,
Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, way down the list.
Do we do it now, guys? Like, I think I don't recall exactly. Daniel, how in were you on Kyle Pitts this preseason? Were you like a similar vein as Mike and I? Like, hey, he's not a tight end three, but he's tight end seven or eight. And the value was fair because he's going in like, you know, the seventh or eighth round. Were you there?
It got to a point where he was still just more talented than the guys below him. And you had to draft him because of that.
Should we all like, do we have two more of those bright vests that you had at the start of the show? Because do we all just wear them right now?
Yes. Gift for the clown.
Yeah, bags over our heads.
Hey, I shared that gift with you yesterday when I was talking about Justin Fields. Yeah, it was most prominent on your mind. No, we can all take a big L on Kyle Pitts, guys. It's just not going to happen.
Nope. Career low, 5 targets per game, so that's even worse than last year. Targets are going the wrong direction. 3 touchdowns now in 31 career games, under 45 yards in every game this season. They are choosing, I mean, their target leader, not just tight ends, their target leader the last 3 games is Jonnu Smith.
And can we just like let's not hide from the reality. As far as like a long term solution at quarterback, we don't think Desmond Ridder is it, do we?
No.
Like I understand that part of this is symptomatic of the offense because they have a lot of players they trust, and Arthur Smith loves to distribute the football to a lot of different guys, but some of it is the guy that's at the control panel here, right? The quarterback play, because you're watching it yesterday. You're just like, oh my God. Like, I don't think an offense with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. And by the way, Jonnu Smith's a good football player. Like, he's an athletic, talented tight end. Like, they do have legit pieces. They should not be this bad offensively, and yet they are.
Yeah, I agree with you. Speaking of which, Drake London also, he had a touchdown yesterday. Still not starting him. He's not. There's not enough volume.
London, you got to be saved by his.
Yeah, 6 targets, 5.3 per game this season. So the only guy you're starting here is Bijan Robinson. But here's the thing. London and Pitts, you could still leave on your bench because that's what your bench is for. Kind of them upside players. And if they make a switch to Taylor Heinicke and there's more pass volume, maybe. But as long as Desmond Ridder's their quarterback, you can't start those guys.
Man, I just like... It's weird because for as negative as the conversation is about like basically every other player on the offense that we want to start, Bijan is so cool. Like he's so damn good. It's absurd. I understand we can have a million conversations about taking a running back in the first round, but man, is that guy fun to watch. I know that this is the most athletic league. Probably. I mean, it's an unbelievable, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to turn into an NBA versus NHL versus MLB versus NFL conversation about who's the best athletes.
NASCAR.
These are freak athletes. NASCAR, of course. Freak athletes. And Bijan just looks like he's playing a different game than so many of them. He is so fluid, so explosive. He's so shifty. He is so fun to watch. And yet the rest of this Falcons offense just makes you want to shed like a little tear. Mm-hmm. Just a little one.
A little.
Maybe a bigger one.
A water well
of tears.
Here's a quick question. Who scored more fantasy points this year, Tyler Conklin or Kyle Pitts?
Don't ask those kind of questions out loud, Daniel.
Who scored more fantasy points, Kate Otten or Kyle Pitts this year?
Well, Kate Otten scored a touchdown yesterday, so I'm going to say him.
What about Noah Gray or Kyle Pitts?
He got a touchdown yesterday,
Noah
too.
Noah Gray is from Massachusetts. Of course, he has more fantasy points than Kyle Pitts.
How about Noah Fant? He's played 2 games for the Seahawks.
Oh, God. You better not.
Has he really scored
more points?
Every single one of those tight ends has scored more fantasy points this year than Kyle Pitts. Here's a question for me. Like, we just had this. If you have, and maybe this is a very small sample, like you, the people that might have this situation, but we're talking about maybe don't drop Kyle Pitts because he's still so talented. You can leave him at the end of the bench in case Taylor Heinicke comes around. My bench only has so many bench spots for it.
It's probably a league size thing.
Right?
Yeah, it sure is.
But the thing is that, like, if you're in a 16-team league where the benches are short, you'd say, like, I can't put him on my bench. Well, who is available that you can start in the 16-team league in tight end?
Right.
In a 10-team league with a larger bench, I think it's probably justifiable to keep him there. It just hurts like heck because the guy is so freaking talented.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about something that's more exciting. Yeah. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Mike, what's their record?
4-0.
That's correct. One of two teams that is still undefeated in the NFL.
Stefania's 49ers.
Yeah. That's right. When do you guys face off?
Later in the season. Okay. I want to say, the Eagles have an absurd schedule. Like two-thirds of the way through the season, they have like five straight games against like all
Chiefs,
the best teams.
49ers, the Bills. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
Cowboys, I think, are in there. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The Commanders really like took this to the wire, though.
Frisky
they
really
down did. To overtime.
Frisky
we saw
Mandos.
Sam Howell
divisional
games.
Too
bad.
Yeah.
One of the things that we had talked about the week before was figuring out which one of these wide receivers was going to feast. A.J. Brown comes back and does it again. He looks like a man out there, Mike Clay.
Yeah, he's ridiculous with the ball in his hands. It's just unreal. He just is moving at a different speed. He looks bigger, faster, more athletic than everyone that's going up against him. It's not even fair. Back-to-back huge games here. And his target share is 35% this season. It was 28% last year.
That seems good.
It was 28 last year, and he was a terrific wide receiver one. It's even higher this year. There was, he was a little upset about not getting the ball more earlier in the season.
Was.
So much for that.
Had a conversation about it.
They're feeding it to him and it's working. So I don't expect it to change.
At all concerned about DeVonta Smith? A little bit?
Not really. Okay. We've seen this. We saw this a little bit last year too. I think he'll be fine. His target share is about the same as last year. I would say mid-range wide receiver two. Maybe not right where he was last year, but still a safe guy to start each and every week. He's clearly their number two target.
Actually, I take that back. I didn't realize it had been... It feels... Maybe it's because the past 2 weeks, A.J. Brown's gone off. So it just feels like DeVonta Smith's not been as productive, but he's still got three games with 14.8 fantasy points or more.
Yeah, he's not doing too poorly. All right, let's talk about the Bucs here as well. This is Bucs-Saint matchup. We had talked specifically about Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans. Unfortunately, halfway through this game,
Mike Evans
leaves with a hamstring injury. So we didn't get to see that come to fruition totally.
Yeah. Barely. I think there were two catches from Mike Evans when being shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore. So it was, I don't know, call it a draw halfway through the game. But certainly a fun one to watch here. But the departure of Mike Evans and on top of the fact that Chris Godwin remains good led to the Chris Godwin breakout game, baby.
Yes,
finally, up over 110 receiving yards, found the end zone as well. Just a monster day there from Chris Godwin. It was great to see. And I'll say this. I think that if Mike Evans is out, and they have a bye this upcoming week, so we don't know whether he'll miss time. But if he's out in week six, I don't think it hurts the target share of Chris Godwin. I also think some of what happened during the first 3 weeks of the season was like randomness of Chris Godwin just not having monster fantasy days. Like, I don't think he is only going to be productive if Mike Evans is out. He's an amazing football player. So it was great to see. And kudos to Baker Mayfield, man. He's got this team playing good football, 3-1, keeping the offense very much afloat. Yep. I hope that Chris Godwin got a springboard yesterday into the rest of the season.
Yeah, I hope so. 6.3 targets per game in the first 3 weeks, just not good enough. Under 11 fantasy points. I think the larger concern right now with Godwin is 7 straight games without a touchdown.
No touchdown yesterday. I take that back. I said that earlier.
My apologies. Only a few last year as well. We got to get him into the end zone more. I agree with you for the most part. I think better days ahead, he'll be startable in fantasy. But if Evans is out, I do think he's going to be Baker will be locked in on him like he was yesterday, and we'll have him ranked much higher.
Yeah, we saw Chris Olave, unfortunately, not perform very well yesterday. That was a really weird one. Was this just because of the fact
for
that
a thought?
Derek Carr looked so bad?
I don't think Derek Carr should have been out there yesterday. And I'm not a doctor, obviously. I can't say that I have any idea what was going on with that shoulder, but just look at the way that this offense unfolded yesterday.
Very poor, yeah.
Chris Olave gets one catch for 4 yards.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara, and we can talk about Alvin Kamara's value going forward, but let me just share a stat that I think makes the case for why I think maybe Derek Carr being out there yesterday was a mistake. 13 receptions for Alvin Kamara. Not carries, receptions for 33 yards. Prior to yesterday, there had been 199 other instances of a player with at least 13 catches in a game ever. The fewest yards by those 199 players prior to yesterday was 71.
Wow.
Kamara had 33, and one of those catches was a screen. It was just dump off city yesterday. Yes, the offensive line's a train wreck right now, but I wonder if maybe just Derek Carr's arm really wasn't geared up to take those deep shots down the field.
That was a Mike Clay stat right there.
That was a Mike Clay stat.
That was something I pull out of my hat. So well done.
Well, I borrowed your computer yesterday. Okay. Yeah, if you're wondering where it went for about half an hour.
I did not see it. It was missing. Yeah, I'm with you. And Olave will bounce back. I fully believe that. Yeah, he was so good. 86-plus yards in three straight before that died yesterday. The target share has been huge. He'll be fine. He's just too good.
Kamara, though, what a day for him. Who cares about the way it got done? It got done.
75% of the snaps. Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be good. Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel Dopp, Field Yates, and Mike Clay here on Fantasy Focus, and we are making our way through a Week 4 recap. Yeah. Guys, the Cleveland Browns stunk without Deshaun Watson. I was really hopeful that fifth-round quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson was going to be okay, but this does feel like one of those throwaway games.
I go through every game every week. I update the projections, move the carry shares, target shares. Didn't even touch it. Didn't even touch Cleveland. The distribution of targets and touches and that kind of thing. I'm not going to move the needle on efficiency for this offense. It's meaningless. That it was a throwaway game. They played Baltimore. The quarterback play was very poor. It just doesn't affect things. You know,
going forward. Okay.
I'm saying going forward, this does not affect my feel for this Browns outlook.
Oh, no, I think makes you like game. For as bad as Deshaun Watson has been relative to the notoriety of the acquisition and the contract. It's a significant drop off from Deshaun Watson to Dorian Thompson Robinson, who was a preseason darling. Loved watching him in the preseason. A good reminder, these are two very different games we play, preseason and regular season football. The Browns go into bye this week. Now, that being said, they come out of the bye and they play the 49ers. So it's not exactly easy sledding on the opposite side of the bye. But to Mike's point, if you got through it this week, with Amari Cooper and Jerome Ford and David Njoku, like, more power to you. But they need Deshaun Watson back in a major way. Early indications are he will be back for week six.
Yeah, one thing I'll say, takeaway, is that Jerome Ford continues to establish himself as the lead back in this one. 24 pass routes run. The other running backs combined for 11, and some of that was garbage time. In fact, Ford handled 9 of the first 14 carries. Strong handled like 6 in a row in garbage time. So don't get too caught up in the usage there.
Sure.
It looked like when the game was at least close, the first 2-3 quarters, it was Jerome Ford. So feeling good about him moving forward.
Not at all. I don't have any regret on using any of my fab on Jerome Ford, especially after he saw 6 targets here. I'm super into this.
Totally agree.
Looking on the other side of this, though, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson looked fantastic. One of the questions we had on Red Zone was, is Lamar going to score a rushing touchdown? I said no, because I knew he was going to score two.
Right. You were correct. Good job by you, Daniel.
And he crushed it there. Lamar looked fantastic.
He looked great as a runner. Again, he was efficient as a passer, 15 for 19 for 186 yards. But the important stuff was that he found the end zone twice as a runner. And for all the talk this offseason about how the passing offense was going to change and evolve and be much more dynamic, I think in elements it has been. Injuries have certainly impacted that as well. No OBJ, no Rashad Bateman yesterday. I don't see a wholesale change in terms of the passing game efficiency or firepower. Mm-hmm. I am reminded, though, that the offense is at its best when Lamar Jackson still gets to use his legs a lot. He was phenomenal yesterday. And, by the way, he hooked up with his favorite target, Mark Andrews, 5 times for 2 scores yesterday. Mm-hmm. Andrews had a monster week, 25 fantasy points, 2nd time in 3 games that Andrews has found the end zone.
Yeah, how about this? Lamar Jackson has 2 rushing touchdowns now in 2 straight games. So that's 4 on the season. 2 plus 2 is 4.
Yes.
Good at math.
Yes, you are.
He had 5 total over the last 2 seasons.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
He had 2 in 2021, 3 in 2022. He missed a handful of games both years, but still, he's already, I mean, we're through week 4. He already has 4 touchdowns. It's more than he's had in 2-plus seasons, so that's a good sign.
This is a funny starts it question, and it's the kind that just totally put your brain into a pretzel. The great Gary Streisky of kinds of fame, including SportsCenter fame, texted me before the games yesterday. Hey, I've got Travis Kelce as my tight end, so I'm going to play him. With my flex, should I play Mark Andrews or Devon Achane? I'm like, first of all, what a decision to have to make. Wow. I'm like, you know what? I think I would go with Achane. I just said, I'm just too scared of the crazy upside for Achane. And then Mark Andrews scores 25 points. I'm oh my God. And then I'm like, Achane had 27 on as Mike said, 10 total touches, right?
Those are always the worst ones. When you advise someone, it could be anyone. If I answer a question
yeah.
and point them one way and it goes wrong.
I guess I was wrong. What I should have told him was, play Mark Andrews and Devon Achane as opposed to Mr. Swift, because he only had 12 fantasy points last night.
Is Gary one of those trolls that goes out and drafts both tight ends just to, like,
I think
it's
sound
it
strategy. I'm not going to lie. I don't hate the strategy, because you could flex him. I mean, you really can.
And it does leave everybody else a little weaker at the tight end.
Yeah, it's just kind of the only issue with it is kind of the opportunity cost a little bit. Totally. Like, you have to put it, that's your flex every week. You're kind of locked into it.
All right. Speaking of flexing every week, it's about time that Josh Jacobs got on track. Oh my gosh. Here's the thing.
The Broncos are the antidote for your passing game. Is that what the Chargers are for your running game?
Yeah, I guess so. That's been the case now during the whole Staley era.
Yeah.
Super inefficient, though, as a rusher. 17 carries. Hold on, I have it here in my notes. 17 carries for 58 rushing yards and a touchdown. But 11 targets for eight receptions and 81 receiving yards. That's huge volume in the passing game.
Their O-line's been a problem. You see it with his rushing efficiency. You see it with all the sacks yesterday from Khalil Mack.
Oh, my six gosh.
Shout out to Khalil.
Dump off city.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. But Jacobs now has a 19% target share this season. That's way up from last year when he was an outstanding fantasy running back. He's first in targets and receiving yards among running backs this season. Also top 10 in carries. Bad luck in the touchdown department. 3.1 expected. Only one touchdown. So there's still room to grow in that department. And a good matchup coming up against the Packers.
That Monday Night Football on ESPN. Uh-huh. That one touchdown. By the way, there were a lot of fantasy heartbreak situations yesterday. Let me highlight a few. Brian Robinson fumbles on the one-inch line.
Brutal.
Terry McLaurin recovers it for a touchdown. Yeah. Devontae Adams catches a pass that the Raiders are trailing, but they don't want to use a challenge because they're afraid of losing a timeout. Adams is in the end zone when he catches the pass. They don't rule it a touchdown. They give the ball down at the six-inch line. Jacobs punches it in two plays later. I have Devontae in the warm. I was playing against Josh Jacobs. I ripped out my hair. It was so frustrating.
Did Aiden O'Connell get in for a six-inch, push it
quarterback
in?
Scramble, yes. Yeah. A little push. Then Patrick Mahomes at the end of the Chiefs game. I want to know out there, did you lose or win your matchup by six or fewer points because of that Patrick Mahomes play at the end of Sunday Night Football? This really short, Justin Herbert, you are an absolute legend.
Incredible.
It's the Josh Palmer Show. It is not yet time for Quentin Johnson. Johnson had a total of one catch yesterday for 18 yards. Palmer had eight targets, including an absurd throw by Justin Herbert at the end of the game. That was so many onions from Justin Herbert to make that pass and that play call, and Josh Palmer with a beautiful catch to salt that game away for the Chargers.
Yeah, Johnson only 60% of the snaps, three targets. He's not there yet. Yeah. You're right.
Nope.
They look so good. All right, here on Fantasy Focus, guys, let's talk about this tight end roller coaster that we unfortunately have to deal with week after week after week. George Kittle. Tough this week, 1.9 fantasy points. Dallas Goedert, tough this week, under 5 fantasy points. TJ Hockenson, 4.4 fantasy points. Guys, tight end is so difficult because it's like the guys that we're saying you have to start because they're going to get usage and volume sometimes get outplayed by these guys that just show up out of nowhere. This is sort of how the tight end position has been this year, guys. Like, what do you do about it?
I was just going to say, Daniel, it's like we've talked for now 41 minutes in this show. I think we've said one nice thing about a tight end. Mark Andrews.
It was Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews, right?
So that's the problem is that, and we're going to eventually get a sign up in the on the board here in the studio about, which tight ends you can actually start. Because after Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, I continue to put TJ Hockenson very much in that lock it in category.
We'll see Waller tonight.
He's been disappointing so far this season. Yep. But Jake Ferguson all of a sudden feels like a phenomenal play because he's got seven targets in three out of the four games.
Tight end one now.
It's absurd how bad this position is year over year. Here's my big takeaway. Find a way to draft Brock Bowers now. Okay. He's the Georgia tight end, one of the most phenomenal players I've seen, and I get it. We're going to get some Kyle Pitts fatigue and you said that about Kyle Pitts. Hopefully Brock Bowers does not go to the Falcons, and hopefully he goes somewhere that they like to use their tight ends a lot. He's awesome because otherwise I don't see a pipeline for other tight ends.
So here's what I control our fantasy football player database.
Yep.
I'm going to go out when we're done here.
Okay.
I'm going to sneak in there. I'm going to add Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to have a zero projection the rest of the season, so he's going to be buried way down the list.
You're
in a dynasty or even season long. Just get him now.
Just get him now. Get him now. Find a way to
get him on the
people
bench.
To.
That's what we're going to do.
I mean, there's really I'll ask you guys, Daniel, if you got, assuming you don't have some other very, very solid option, I don't know who they would be. But if you have George Kittle, are you starting week 5?
George Kittle, if I drafted him in the first place, has an up and down nature to his game. I am living with the roller coaster because I knew that when I drafted him.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert.
Okay.
Both.
Are we going player by player here? Or are we?
We're just three of them total.
Okay.
I'm still starting Dallas Goedert because of that offense. It's a good offense. He's still going to get you. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback.
And TJ Hockenson.
I'm still starting TJ Hockenson.
Of course. Yeah.
So these are the three that were duds, notably this week. So again, that's. I'm sure listeners and viewers at some point get sad or mad at us being like, well, how can I continue to trot out these guys who are not performing? My retort would be, I'd love to give you a name of a player that's actually good that you can start instead.
Right.
There are very few of them. Like even Luke Musgrave, one of the more popular tight end pickups in recent weeks, has one catch for 1 yard and then goes into the concussion protocol on Thursday night. Cole Kmet had a big day yesterday after nothing in the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. They don't play the Broncos every week.
Yeah, so
draft Travis Kelce early.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think in 12-team leagues, these guys I'll rank all three of them as starters this week. Kittle, we talked about this all offseason. You know, we kind of saw this coming. It's probably been worse than expected. He's still 12th in fantasy points because of the one big game. He had 16 points in week 3 on 9 targets. His other three games, he has 13 total fantasy points on 10 targets. So he basically equaled three games in one game. Goddard's more concerning because he's lost about a target per game from last season. He's on pace for 374 yards this season. He had 702 last year. So that one's hard for me to understand. I was still feeling good about him even yesterday morning because his target shares the prior 2 weeks were good. It's a concern. His fantasy points, the targets are way down. The snaps are, he's number one in snaps at tight end. So he's still on the field. The production just hasn't been there. And Hockenson, look, he was top six the first 3 weeks before the dud this week. I'm not worried about Hockenson at all. He still had a 17% target share. It was just a lower volume game. So Hockenson's the one I'm least concerned about.
Do we think there's and I'm not trying to rewrite the rules of fantasy football now, but if you were playing in a league with people that were creative and amenable to changes, maybe even conversations, I wonder if here's a workaround for future years. You don't have a tight end position. Uh-huh. Tight ends are just eligible for flex.
Yeah. Or have a wide receiver / tight end slot.
At that point, though, tight ends just become other than the top six, they're gone. They become unusable in fantasy.
Yeah. But so rather than having to trot out another week where it's like, ooh, baby, I got myself three catches from Evan Engram on Sunday. It's like, oh, no, Mark Andrews versus DK Metcalf is my conversation for my second pass catcher spot.
Instead of starting Cole Kmet, it's Jahan Dotson fits in that slot, right? Anyway, that's way more fun anyway.
Totally. I would agree. Yeah. Somebody consider for future years.
It would either be that or going tight end premium, just so that it feels like tight ends are actually scoring some points. Because when you look and you see 4.5 in their little roster, that feels crappy. If it can at least see 10.5, that feels a little better. Double digits.
Every catch for a tight end counts for 5 fantasy points. That's how you get the tight end premiums that matter.
Top 5 tight ends so far this year.
But then Travis Kelce is the undisputed number one pick, and it's not even close.
TJ Hockenson, Sam Laporta, Cole Kmet, Evan Engram, Mark Andrews. Wow. That's the top 5. Wow.
And Andrews and Kelce, of course, have missed a game each.
That's incredible. All right, let's talk about Joshua Dobbs, guys. We mentioned that these Arizona Cardinals looked frisky earlier, especially when they played the Dallas Cowboys. Not just against Dallas, even against the 49ers. And Joshua Dobbs looks like the real deal for this guy. If you're talking about a streaming quarterback that you could potentially use, Josh Dobbs has been that guy.
And there was a time when we were going through two quarterback evaluations. And it's there's 6 or 7 that are strictly reserved for bye weeks. He might have been part of that conversation. He's I could not be more impressed by the way the Arizona Cardinals punch above their weight every single week.
Totally agree.
And I'm sure there are Cardinals fans that would like to see more wins. I'm not so sure that's the case. If I'm the Cardinals, in some ways, this is kind of the perfect way that the season can unfold. We're frisky every week, and then we lose. I mean, we've lost 3 out of 4. But if this team goes 5-12 this season and secures the 8th overall, probably lower than that, 4-13 this season, has the 5th overall pick, that is super. That could be super valuable. We got reporting from Shefty on Saturday night that Kyler Murray is weeks, maybe even longer away from returning. I'm not trying to be a doctor here. We're not Stefania. But just take a big step back here. Do you really think if Josh Dobbs continues to play like this and the Cardinals continue to compete like this, that there will be any way in which they bring Kyler Murray back?
Doesn't feel like it.
You'd be surprised. Would you be surprised?
Where my head went was Cleveland last year. I mean, it was different circumstances, but you know, everyone was like, well, when Watson comes back, I mean, they have a decision to make now. And it wasn't a decision. You know, it could be the same kind of thing here.
Yeah, I think one's different only because, like, Watson is going to be the guy there no matter what going forward. I'm not convinced that Kyler is the guy in Arizona beyond this season. So they might just say, hey, you know something? Let's keep rehabbing, recuperating, get you right. Let's not put you at risk. You're still, you know, even if he came back exactly a year after the injury last season, it would be week 14. That's like mid-December. Like, I'm not sure you want, early December. You don't want to risk that, do you? Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But shout out to you, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, he's been great. A couple of things here. The last 3 weeks, we've only played four, but the last 3 weeks, only four quarterbacks have more fantasy points than him. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts. It's pretty darn good company.
It's like one of those things, not like the other, right?
Yes. I know, right? And how about this for a trivia question? 31 quarterbacks have attempted 75 passes this year. Only three have zero interceptions.
I got two. CJ Stroud.
Yep.
Joshua Dobbs.
Yep.
And
undefeated team.
Oh, really? Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy, yeah. Wow. How about that list? Yeah, so all three. Yeah. It's super impressive that they're doing that damage. So Dobbs has been legit. He's completed over 71% of his passes, and he's adding value with his legs. He's not turning it over. He has four passing touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, there's four teams on a bye this week, which we didn't mention, by the way. There are four teams on a bye. Cleveland, the Chargers, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. Yep. Dobbs
Wasn't Cleveland on a bye this week?
Wow. Whoa. Nicely done.
Well done. Back-to-back buys for them. I know we were doing two buys. Dobbs is in the streaming conversation.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Trevor Lawrence, bad matchup this week against the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. One example, Dak Prescott, another dud for him. And I mean, he played great, but he was not good for fantasy this past week. Like, there's definitely some quarterbacks that are dicey. Dak,
way down the list now. And Dobbs, by the way, at home against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Also, quick shout out to Michael Wilson, 7 for 76 and 2 touchdowns for that rookie.
One of the legit waiver ads of the week. He was a sleeper in the preseason, really good player at Stanford, and it's him, Hollywood Brown, Rondell Moore is a three wide receiver playing a lot.
Hollywood's top 20 in fantasy points as well. He's delivering. That guy, one of the most underrated players in the league since he's been around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do if you are a Breece Hall manager, understanding that the Jets this week get the Denver Broncos?
I forgot about that.
Start them. RB1.
Yeah, I know. Revenge week, by the way, for the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett comments from Sean Payton.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Look, we talked about, I want to just say this. Last week, I said that the only thing I'll say about Zach Wilson is the schedule for him.
Yeah, like, it's easier, right?
I mean, it was so tough the first month. It is a lot easier going forward. Yeah. They've had some of the toughest matches of his career, for sure.
Yep.
They hung in there with the Chiefs. They did. They already beat the Bills. Yeah. So, I mean, we've 3 straight weeks now, the Bills have dominated teams. They beat the Bills in week one. They're at least, they've been respectable in 2 games out of 4.
Yeah.
Now they play the Broncos. Maybe. You know, I mean, maybe you want to throw
it. Chicago is in Denver, right?
Oh, man, that's going to be interesting. If the Jets get this one, frisky, but going forward, like as a real team, not so much as a fantasy team. But Breece Hall, I think you have to continue to wait.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
I think I'm going to start him this week.
Yeah, this week you feel good about it.
I'll start him against Denver.
Yeah.
And I will say this, Zach Wilson, at least in this game, Lazard had a touchdown. He got the ball to Garrett Wilson a ton, and that's a trend.
Lazard should have had 2 touchdowns, by the way.
Mm-hmm. He should.
Sure, yes. Yeah, he should have. But Wilson, tons of volume, tons of target volume.
Yeah, 9 for 60
has a couple
yesterday.
Touchdowns. Yep. The only concern in the backfield is they're still using a timeshare with 3 guys, 26 snaps for Hall, 17 for Carter, 14 for Cook. The good news is, though, that Hall is the one now, at least.
Yeah.
At least he's the one. He has some separation from the other two. In this matchup, I think I'll be ranking him right around 20th. So, again, 4 teams on a bye. Great matchup. I think this is a week you could start him.
Gosh, this is a tough one. I mean, it is the ultimate hedge where it's like, I don't have faith in this offense right now. Although last night did look way better than I had expected.
Yeah. By the way, Hall made, there was that play, the long run he had.
Yeah.
It felt like he should have had a touchdown on that play. He had a blocker in front of him and the blocker got, and then he got tripped up by him. I thought he should have scored on that play. Conversation might be a little bit different had he gone the extra, 25, 30 yards and scored. But nonetheless, it was good to see that big play.
Absolutely. All right. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp here, closing out our week 4 recap with a Monday Night Football look ahead, guys. We got Monday Night Football now. What do you need for your own fantasy teams? Do you need any Monday Night miracles here from either the Seahawks or
you
the Giants?
You first, Mike.
Yeah. I do. I need a literal miracle. I need
Okay.
Tyler Lockett to get like -7 points.
Okay.
Honestly, like,
couple of fumbles.
Ball security could be an issue early. Yeah. You know, the weather looks pretty bad tonight. It's supposed to be like 70 and like perfectly sunny and clear.
You know what I need from him? I need him to watch the tape of Elijah Moore running the ball yesterday.
Yes! Oh my gosh, that was wild.
A negative 20-yard run. I need that, and then I need him to fumble.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I need him to
have
do that
pass
again.
Like Keenan Allen, but instead of throwing a touchdown, he throws an interception for minus two.
Because, right, if we can get that, that'd be great.
You're good to go.
Not a ton of fantasy action in this game tonight, obviously, with Saquon Barkley is doubtful, leaves the Giants with kind of one guy that's probably being started in most leagues. That's Darren Waller. Matt Breida, maybe on the fringe of a deeper league. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm sort of I need some DK Metcalf and Jason Myers in my light in my life tonight. Here I think if I'm like just trying to appeal to the masses here and what I have my eyes on for general fantasy purposes is Geno Smith played better football recently, had a good week last week in fantasy. Can he build on that against a Giants defense that was woeful early in the season? Been
a little bit better.
Good matchup, I would think, on paper for Geno Smith. And then Mike highlighted this last week, but for as good as Kenneth Walker III has been, Zach Charbonnet's snap count has risen in recent weeks. Does that come closer to 50-50, or does this remain the Kenneth Walker III show for fantasy purposes? And of course, does Jake Bobo find the end zone? The Seahawks are now 2-0. With Jake Bobo catching a pass this year.
That's what I forgot about. Did you see the Joshua Dobbs social media thing where he went to go get a jersey for himself, and he doesn't even in the like Cardinals store? You think Jake Bobo has that situation? That's why we can't get his jersey right now?
I can confirm that you can buy the generic white or the highlighter green.
No.
I still want the throwback. I think I might have to give up hope and just buy a regular one soon.
Rats. That's a bummer. I like the highlighter green if I was going to grab one, but that's just me.
So if I don't get the throwback, I go for the highlighter green,
you're saying?
Not a bad idea. It kind of matches the focus art here. You know?
Can always wear it when you're walking your dog, either in the morning or late at night, because it will reflect everything, too.
Or you know what I can do is I should buy it, and then when I lose board bets, you won't be able to tell that I'm wearing the loser vest because I'll have my Bobo jersey on, too.
Smart.
By the way, Texans uniforms yesterday. Love them.
Fantastic.
Yeah, love them. Good.
Yeah, Scott, for sure. Stock up right now. And I'm not talking about like this NFT Dogecoin kind of stock. I'm talking about stocks that actually keep going the rest of the
uniforms,
way. The Texans
the
right now. I know.
Defense getting better. They're
quarterback's
going the right
a
way.
Real deal. The head coach is all in. I'm all in on the Texans. And by the way, they've been doing that with like no offensive linemen. They called Damian Woody. That's why he wasn't on an NFL yesterday. It was because he had to go play for the Texans. He's been out of the league for like a decade, but they were like, can you give us 20 snaps, please?
Let's pick this game really quick for tonight. Seahawks at Giants Field.
Which I got Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Wow, that is fast.
Come on.
Seahawks. It has got to be Seahawks, right? I'm with you guys on that one. Yeah. What's the score? Do you have a score?
Yes, but not in front of me.
Not in front of you. That's all right.
What does your brain tell you?
Brain, I'll say 23-19.
I was going to say 23-19.
No, you weren't.
For real, I definitely was.
I got Seahawks 23-19. No, that's I'll go.
If it's 23-19, is that a score, Agami?
27-15 Seahawks.
Oh,
I don't know why 27-15.
That is gross.
I feel like home ice advantage has helped a little bit this year.
Has it? I feel it was like the other way.
Really? Yeah. Maybe not. Just I don't know. It just feels like that has mattered a little bit.
Yeah.
I have to look into that.
This will be fun tonight.
That's why I gave it a little closer.
I'm excited for this one.
Just a reminder, Lions are 3-1. I don't want people to forget that.
Thank you very much, Field. Love you guys so much. Thank you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to come back tomorrow. Field Stefania and I talking waiver wire, a Monday Night Football recap, a bunch of injury updates that you need to know heading into Week 5. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We cannot wait to see
you
tomorrow.
Did you hear, Mike? Be nice
Good
to me.
Good luck in Monday Night Football.
I'll try. By the way, I saw a lot of tweets about Fields, about steaks. Do you guys owe me steak?
No,
we don't owe you steaks. No. We don't owe you steaks.
Steaks were a McDonald's meal.
Yes.
A sloppy steak from Trafoni's.
No! I think you should leave.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Lakeford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the corners.